Before we get to the bike giveaway, I just want to share just real short, won't be real long, just a few things from the scriptures about what Christmas is all about. We certainly can't share it all today. You've already heard the, you know, skit and the songs and so forth, the singing. Jesus came, of course, was born in a manger, but he came to live a sinless life and to minister and to walk this earth, ministering to the sick, the hurting, the oppressed, forgiving sin, and then he died. That's what he really came to do. He came to die on a cross to take our place. It was a substitutionary work. I want to share with you this morning something about the life of Jesus and the fact that whenever Jesus came, really, this is Christmas season, and we really remember what Jesus came to do, and the real center of it is to redeem man from sin and all the consequences of that. But if you really think about it, he came to give this earth that was full of sin, full of bondage, full of pain, sickness, heartache, and brokenness, and disappointments, and the curse, and turn that situation around by the power of God. He walked this earth ministering to people by his power. And every time he would minister to somebody, whether it was healing of their body, whether it was forgiveness of sin, whether it was restoring them who were broken and their lives were a mess, that was a turnaround for them. And Jesus came to minister turnarounds. And whenever he died on the cross, it was to turn men around and those who believe in him. And his ministry actually has changed my life. I'm sure there's many of you here. His life and his death and his sacrificial work on the cross and resurrection and sending the Holy Spirit into our lives has turned your life around. And I know he's turned my life around. It's different today for me than it would have been without him. I had so many things, directions I was going in life, so tormented, so vexed in my mind, and so abound with habits and things. But thank God for Jesus. He's the God of the turnaround. Jesus, he comes to turn individual lives around. Really, though, he changed the whole course of history. And you can see that in many, many things today. And so when Jesus was born in the manger, he was authoring the beginning of the turnaround of this whole planet. And he got it started, and he's still working that plan today. And I'll guarantee you, he's going to finish that plan. And when it's all done, that this planet will be completely turned around. He will rule this planet, the Bible says, because he is the God of the turnaround. And I want to focus in on that today. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the evil king Herod and the government of that day, they wanted him out of the way. The Jews wanted him out of the way, and they plotted to kill him, and of course, faked a trial and put him on trial and crucified him, sentenced him to death and crucified him. And the Bible, it looked like it was over. It looked like Jesus had been removed from the earth. It looked like what he came to do was over. It looked like he had maybe failed if you were looking at it from the perspective of humanity's view. It looked like that which God started had not worked. Jesus was gone. But Jesus actually went to the cross. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, he committed himself to God, who was able to judge righteously. That just simply means he trusted God, although he had an injustice done to him. Of course, he was taking our sin on himself. He didn't die for his own sin. He took our sin on himself. But because he had an injustice done to him personally, he didn't deserve to die. It wasn't his sin. He was doing it for us. But personally, he didn't deserve to die. So he committed himself to God, and God gave him his turnaround. He raised him from the dead because that's who God is. He's the God of the turnaround. And the thing about God is that he does what he does supernaturally. He turned Jesus' death into a resurrection by his supernatural power. Jesus ministered to people when he walked this earth supernaturally to turn their situations around. And to be honest with you, He wants to do personal turnarounds in individuals' lives through the work that he did on the cross, and also through living by, after we receive him into our lives, living by his power every day. Because there are things that come to our life that want to take it the wrong way. There are forces of darkness in this earth that seek to push our lives into bondages of sin and hatred and things that our society seems to be filling up with. But we have a God who wants to invest his power in men and women's lives and is very willing to do so, to author a personal turnaround on a personal level to each man, woman, boy and girl that will receive him. He starts it, and he's the author of it by receiving him as Lord and Savior into our lives. It's not about being good or joining a church, although those things help us to grow spiritually, but it's about receiving the author of the turnaround into our lives. And so he still does these things today, and he does it supernaturally by his power. I've seen God turn men and women who were the hardest of sinners, the worst of people, the people would look at them as the worst of society and turn them around. I mean, they were hardened. They were mean. They were, I'm thinking of one individual right now that he was so hardened and mean. He covered his body with tattoos. Not that that's a sin, but it's just, you know, he had gone so far and just covered with meanness and ugly things all over him. But he got to the God of the turnaround and received Jesus. And when I went to preach at this church, he was the softest teddy bear, the kindest man you had ever met. Since he's on God's side now, I wanted to make sure he's on my side. You know what I'm talking about? He looked like he could, you know, hurt you, but he had a real turnaround. And that's the way God is. He wants to do that for each man, woman, boy, and girl. But there are many areas that he wants to turn our lives around. He does these things by his power. There's a verse in Exodus 34 in verse number 10. I want to read it. You might not have a Bible. If you do, you can turn. I'm going to go kind of quickly here. It says Exodus 34, 10. God was speaking to his people. He said, "Behold, I will make a covenant. All the people, before all the people, will I do marvels such as have not been done in the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people amongst whom thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing." That means something full of awe, amazing. That's old King James English for terrible. An amazing thing that I will do with thee. He said this is a covenant that he makes with his people. Now the Bible said God is, he doesn't change. He said he is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the God who has made a covenant with his people to invest his power supernaturally into turning situations around that the enemy wants to push in the wrong direction. He still wants to show himself mighty. He's still a God of signs and wonders. What kind of turnaround are we talking about? I'm talking about impossible kinds of things. The children of Israel saw a great big turnaround whenever they were brought out of Egypt's bondage. In fact, that's what he's talking about in this passage, about him doing signs and wonders. And they were supernaturally delivered from Egypt's bondage, and God led them up to the edge of the Red Sea. He had delivered them, but Egypt chased them. And they came up to the Red Sea. They couldn't get across the Red Sea. Historians tell us that, actually the Bible does too, there were mountains on both sides, so they couldn't escape to the left or the right. And Egypt's army, the best army in the world, the best military in the world, came up behind them and pinned them in against the Red Sea. It looked impossible. No way to get through the waters. No way to climb over the mountain. You got a couple million people. You got cattle, you got babies, you got elderly amongst the congregation, and an angry army with dead babies behind them looked impossible. Moses cried out to God, And God said, why are you crying to me? He said, stretch forth your rod over the sea. And he stretched out the rod, and the Bible says the waters split. Says a strong wind blew all night and split the waters. Said it congealed the waters. They're probably frozen. And Israel that night walked through that sea and got to the other side, which the army of Egypt tried to do, were drowned. I mean, yesterday it was impossible. Today they're dancing and singing with a tambourine. That's the God of the turnaround. And he wants to do that for you and I as well. These are not just Old Testament promises. Acts 13, verse 41, he said, behold, you despisers and wonder and perish. He's talking about people that mock these things. He said, I will work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He's talking about doing things that if you told people, they wouldn't even believe it. I got some stories like that I could tell you. Absolutely amazing things. I remember one time driving on a way. We traveled in ministry before we came here to pastor. And we were trying to get there. We had to preach the next day, and we had to drive all night to get there. And I, you know, when it comes time for me to go to bed, I'm good at what I do. I go to sleep. And I was trying to stay awake. I'm falling asleep. I'm awakened to that sound. You hit the edge of the road. That happened two or three times. I'm thinking, my goodness. And my wife's she had taken her turn to drive, and I'm driving again. We were going back and forth. And she's sleeping in the back. And before God, you get in trouble for lying, you know, especially standing on a platform telling a bunch of people in church. But I felt, I'm falling asleep, and I physically felt a hand right there touch me and wake me up, startled me. I thought it was my wife. And I said, Deb, that her name is Deb, Debbie, I call her Deb. Deb, she's sound asleep. Deb. She didn't wake up. I thought, well, she must have fallen back asleep. She must have seen I was sleeping and touched me. So I went a little bit further. I was a little bit awakened by that, but I went a little bit further. Started falling asleep again. And second time, felt that same touch. Felt just as physical as if the person next to you went like that. Just as real. Not a figment of my imagination. You can feel when somebody touches you like that. It wasn't just a brush. It was a hand that touched me right there. And it woke me wide awake. And I said, she saw I was sleeping. I said, Deb? No response. I said, Deb? No response. And I hollered it the third time, Deb! She slept through the whole thing. The second time, it woke me up wide awake. The next thing I knew, I mean, I drove all that night wide awake. Just singing, wide awake, and she slept through the whole thing about 7 or whatever time it was. The sun's coming up, coming in, shining her eyes. She woke up like, where are we? I said, we're already in South Dakota. And she said, I said, did you wake me up? She said, what do you mean? She said, you must have saw me. I said, you must have saw me sleeping and woke me up. She said, what do you mean? She said, no, I didn't. I was fast asleep. I said, well, I hollered at you 3 times. You must have been. That's not normal for her. Normally I turn over a couple of times. She wakes up in the bed. Well, I knew then that the Lord has sent his angel to protect me. Signs and wonders. He wants to work a work so powerful in your life that delivers you from impossible situations. And he wants to do it in such a way that people won't even believe it when you tell them. Some people doubt these things. That's their problem, not mine. That's their problem. But he wants to work a work so powerful, people won't believe it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, every temptation that the enemy brings against us, God brings a way of escape. He wants to make your mess, turn your mess into a message. He wants to turn your test into a testimony. He wants to turn your disappointment into a divine appointment. He wants to bring you out and split the waters when there's no way to get across. He delights in showing mercy. The Bible said that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He works signs and wonders. You ever think about it? Those people, we read about them in the Bible. But those were people that really hurt and really had needs. They had families, and their sickness kept them from, you know, doing what they should be doing for their family. And these are real lives, real testimonies of people that got a turnaround. The woman with the issue of blood, I think about her. Mark chapter number 5. The Bible said that she was had suffered many things of many doctors. I mean, I think she, if I remember, it was 12 years, was it? I can't remember how many years. But she had gone through, I don't know, every kind of treatment they had in that day, every kind of examination, every kind of medicine. And, you know, some of the medicines back then, they just weren't quite right, you know, kind of like today. But she went through everything. And she could get no help. She wasn't any better. Not only that, she's getting worse. And the Bible said she had spent everything she had. I mean, this is getting desperate. She had no money left. Doctors can't fix it. This has been going on for 12 years. She's getting weaker and weaker. And somebody told her about Jesus. Somebody told her their testimony, or told her what he had said about the Spirit of the Lord's on me. He's anointed me. Something had happened. She heard about Jesus, and the Bible said, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. What is that? I'll get my turnaround. I'm going down, down, down. It looks more impossible every day. I'm getting weaker every day. And the Bible said, I'll touch his garment. And she said, I'll touch his garment, I'll be healed. And the Bible said she had to press her way through the crowd in her weakened condition. And she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. The Bible said the power of God went out of Jesus into her. And she immediately had said she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus knew it had gone out. He said, who touched me? And they said, well, there's a lot of people bumping you. It's a big crowd, you know. And so they said, Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. And finally she came forward and she told her testimony. That's a turnaround. I like turnarounds, don't you? Throughout history, he's shown that he's willing to show his power and use his power to turn impossible situations around if people will trust him for it. So Jesus was here, and the Bible said, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's saying that God, all these things that are happening through my ministry on the earth, he said, all these turnarounds, he said, you're seeing the will of the Father. God is a God that uses his power to turn our lives around. He's the same God of miracles today. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same God. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he doesn't do what he did in Bible days, he's different. He's not the same. But no, the Bible said he is the same. People say today things have changed. He doesn't do the supernatural anymore. There's only one thing that has changed, and that is man don't believe it anymore. I believe it. He can turn sickness into health. He can turn rejection into favor. He can turn open doors that are closed. He can make a way when there is no way. He can make things work that weren't working. He can make what was working against you turn around and work for you. What the devil meant for evil, he can turn it around for good. He'll turn your mourning into dancing. He'll turn your sorrow into joy. I like these stories. Abraham and Sarah, another story. God promised them a child that they had not been able to have babies. Sarah hadn't been able to have babies in her childbearing years. Now she's past that age. She's in a later stage of life, and she's past the age of childbearing, and God still had promised her a child, her and Abraham a child. It looked impossible. Not only was it impossible in her younger years, it was impossible. It was beyond possible. Now, she was 90 years old when she had her baby. All the ladies say, "Get away from me, old man." But God had promised them a promise, and they held fast in faith. And God gave them a turnaround. And that's the story of the entire Bible. Yeah. It's person after person, story after story. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And what is a flood? The enemy comes in like a flood sometimes. You remember here, if you lived here in Cedar Rapids in 2008, you know something about a flood. The waters rose of the river. The waters rose, what was it, up to 31 plus feet. 32 feet or something like that. 31, 32 feet. And it crested 19 feet above flood stage. 19 feet deep. And beyond flood stage. Flood stage is here, and it went 19 feet above that. Remember downtown, if you lived here, downtown, certain areas were just devastated. And there's nothing anybody could do. That's what a flood of trouble is like. That's what the Bible says. When the enemy comes in like a flood is an overwhelming situation. It's an impossible thing to stop. I don't know if you've ever seen what water can do. I mean, a torrent of water can do. It can change landscapes. It can take something on a strong foundation and just whoosh, wash it away. And sometimes that's the way the enemy comes into our lives. But God said, whenever that happens, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Remember, a standard, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, a standard isn't, you ever seen those old movies whenever they'd go to war, the old kind of movie, old days back in the medieval times, and they'd put this flag out front and some guy's bearing that flag and they're all rallying around that flag. And that's what that standard is. That flag is called a standard. And so what he's saying is whenever the enemy comes like in with an overwhelming situation, just a flood of trouble, he's saying that the Spirit of God will raise up a battle cry. He specializes in leading rallies out of impossible situations. He leads the charge. He sounds the trumpet and says, charge. Somebody said, how do we do that? How do we enter into that? How do we rally around that standard? We rally around the promises of God. Like Abraham had a promise. We rally around that and take those promises. Let me tell you something about God. He made those promises so he could keep them. He made them so you can go to the bank with them. The bank of heaven and say, I'm cashing in on one of my rights and privileges. And so that's what the Spirit of the Lord, he said, will do. He'll rally us around his promises so that he can turn impossible situations around and turn them into victories. How does God do that? He works through our faith. We have an example. God set an example whenever Jesus was crucified. In Psalm 2, it tells us, I'm almost done here, but I'll just finish this up. It tells us in Psalm chapter number 2 that, and it's quoted in the book of Acts about the heathen raging against the Christ and crucifying him. It says, why did the heathen do that? They imagined this vain thing to crucify Christ. And then the Bible says in Psalm 2:4, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. What? It says he'll have them greatly in derision. What is he talking about? God, they're crucifying Jesus and God's laughing? Let me tell you what he was doing. He was gone, ha, ha, ha. You think you're doing away with this Christ. You're doing away with this anointed one. You're not doing away with him. You're just planting a seed. And that seed's going to come back up out of the ground and produce many more just like him. Now, I don't mean that they're God, but I mean just like him in the sense as that the anointing that was on him that was destroying yokes is now on us to do the same things they did. The anointing did, I should say, whenever it was on Jesus, and that is turn things around. God is a father, and he imitates how he does things so that his children can follow his example. The reason he sat in heaven and laughed is because he knew that the very thing that they were doing to remove Jesus from the scene was going to destroy Satan. 1 Corinthians tells us that if Satan had known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it. Because Jesus, he went to the cross in faith, believing God to turn it around for him. And he actually, when he rose from the dead, the Bible says he defeated Satan. He's the one that's always pushing things in the wrong direction and that we need a turnaround from. And so whenever Jesus was crucified, he was crucified believing God to raise him from the dead. And God used that faith to turn that situation around and defeat the very one who killed Jesus. Now, the Bible said Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. And he handed us the keys over Satan and all his forces. And he said, just do like I did. Whenever it looked impossible, stand on the promises and rejoice in the promises and count it all joy, and I'll give you your turnaround. If you and I today will believe God, Satan will rue the day that he ever opposed us. That just simply means he will be bitterly regretful. He'll be sorry he ever tried to touch us. God's a God of the turnaround. Amen. What the devil endeavors to do in our bodies, in our families, in our finances, in our minds, to put us in bondage to sin and all these things he tries to do, God is able to turn things around. He's the still miracle working God today. He specializes in impossible situations. He turns our curse into a blessing. He turns a life that's bound with sin into a life that's free, free, free. He can make what the devil intended to destroy your life just simply put you in a better place in life, because we put our faith in him. What the enemy put in front of us to block our way, we can turn into a stepping stone. Make Satan wish he never attacked us. Now, somebody said, well, what do I do? First of all, receive him into your life, because he wants to do all these things. And it tells us those who receive him, to them gives he power to be the sons of God and to walk in victory just like Jesus did. And then second of all, James 3, and I'm closing with this. It says, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they would obey us. And we turn that horse. He said, we turn the rudder on a ship. In James 3, it tells us this. And it turns that whole ship. He said, so is the tongue. First of all, receive the God of the turnaround into your life and heart. And he'll begin to do that work. And second thing he needs from us is for us to begin to declare his promises. Turn our tongue towards the victory that we want. It can turn our whole lives. Faith doesn't mean we don't have any tests or trials. You understand that. It just means that we tap into the power of God to turn those situations that come against us and make them go the way God promised us. God made promises so he could keep them. But he needs us to do our part. Would you bow your head for a moment? I've shared briefly with you just what God, who God is and what he wants to do in each one of our lives. If you're here this morning and you say, I have never put my faith in the work of God on the cross through Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, so that I could have a turnaround from a life of sin and a life that's separated from God. I've never done that. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not talking about getting religion. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm talking about receiving the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who gives you the divine turnaround. He takes your nature of sin and gives you the nature of righteousness by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. None of us are righteous in our own self. It says in the Bible that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. we can receive His righteousness through faith, just through faith in what He has done. If you're here this morning and you say, I've never prayed that prayer, and I'd like to pray that prayer this morning, then I want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I'm going to pray with you right where you're seated, right where you are in your seat. If you would like prayer, you'd like to be included in this prayer, you say, Pastor Jay, I need salvation. I need remission of my sin. Pray with me. Pray for me this morning that I could know Jesus and God, who is the God of my turnaround. Then raise your hand wherever you are across the auditorium. Just raise your hand. I'm looking for anyone. By raising, thank you, thank you. By raising your, thank you. By raising your hand, you're saying, yes, include me in this prayer. You want to be included. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. There's another hand. Okay, thank you. There's another hand. I see several hands. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. That you're being honest before God. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to a man. You're not joining this church. There's another one. Thank you. Okay, there's another one. Thank you. You're just simply saying, I'm receiving. I want to be included in that prayer to receive Jesus, the God of my turnaround. And we're just going to pray with you right where you are. Anyone else? Thank you for being honest before God. Thank you. There's another hand. You're just saying, include me in the prayer. I'm just waiting a moment. Just looking again. Okay, back there's another hand. Thank you. Young, old, male, female, doesn't matter. Whoever you are, just saying, include me in this prayer. Thank you. Okay, another hand. Two other hands over here. Just want to give you time. The Spirit of God's drawing you to Him. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just looking one more time. I want to make sure to include everyone that wants to be included. Praise God. All right. Those of you that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to just simply repeat this prayer after me. But I think it would be good for every one of us in the congregation to pray this prayer with them and believe God with them. So I'm going to ask, if you're here this morning, everyone join in and repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Father God in heaven, I come to You in need of a turnaround. I come to You in need of salvation. I come to You in need of forgiveness. I ask You, Lord Jesus Christ, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, and to be my Savior. I need a turnaround in my life. I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe You rose from the dead. I receive You into my heart and life right now by faith. I confess You as Lord and Savior. Right now, I thank You for taking all my past, all the wrong I've done, and washing it away and making me a brand new person with a brand new start in life. Father God, I now call You my Heavenly Father. Dear Lord Jesus, I call You now my Lord and Savior. I'm saved. Father, I'm Your child, and I'm clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank You for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You just began something that God wants to work more and more and more in your life concerning. There's some people in the aisles. They are there too. They have packets. They want to give you information. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we would like to give you this packet of information. Gives you some materials to help you understand the things of God and get you started in your walk with God. And if you have any questions, you can look to those materials. If you need one of those, you prayed that prayer, just raise your hand. It's just free of charge. Back here is a young lady, I believe, that wants one. We're going to give anybody that wants one, we're going to give it to them. All right. Keep your hands up until they see you. All right. I was, while they're giving those out, the anointing of the Holy Spirit works through my wife and I. And I want to pray for anyone right now, this morning. Although you're a child of God and you know Him, yet you need a turnaround in another area of your life. I want to pray a prayer over you this morning. If that's you, just raise your hand. It could be in your family. It could be in your job. It could be you lost your job and you need a new job. It could be just you're sick in your body and you want the God of the turnaround to minister to you. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. It could be in any area. Maybe you're heartbroken over somebody who left your life. Something that you want prayer for. I want to pray with you right where you are. Okay, so just raise your hand because we want to know who we're praying for. All right. Father God, I thank you for the anointing of your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's in this room this morning. I ask you, Father, for each of these individuals, you know what their need is. You know why they raised their hand. You know where it hurts. You know what Satan is trying to do in their lives. I right now come against the work of the enemy. I bind it and command Satan, you to take your hands off these situations in the name of Jesus. And right now, they with us, we release our faith for the turnaround that they need in their life, for their family situation, for their own heart, their own mind, their own finances or their bodies. Whatever they need, we ask you right now, Father, to work and minister and begin that turnaround. I'm under the anointing of the Spirit. I hear the Spirit of God saying to me, he's healing somebody's stomach right now. There's somebody's stomach. You've been having a lot of trouble in your stomach. You can keep things down most of the time. The Spirit of God's showing me this. This is how the Holy Spirit works sometimes through me. You can keep things down most of the time, but sometimes you're recurring from time to time. It recurs. You can't keep things down, and it's just a unsettledness of your stomach. God's healing that right now by his power. He's healing that right now. Somebody has had, there's like a, in the on the left side of their head, back, it kind of radiates over into their ear, and it hurts behind their ear. There's been a pain that you've had. It's been there, and I think it's there right now. God's healing that by his power right now, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You say, what's happening right now, Pastor Jay? These are some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Bible talks about, that the Holy Spirit gives. So somebody's being healed of that right now. Somebody's being healed. I hear the Spirit of God saying that. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for ministering your power, your healing anointing across this room by your anointing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare healing where there's been sickness and disease. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that was you, tell somebody. We would like to hear your testimony. We had a meeting here, just a series of meetings here, just, what was it, three weeks ago, I believe. And we have testimonies. It was Sunday through Wednesday, morning and night. And we had at least 70 to 75 testimonies of people healed by the power of God. Instant things just disappeared. That same anointing is ministering to people in this room right now. So thankful, because he's the God of the what? The turnaround. Do you believe it? If you receive it, give God a shout this morning.